Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, Fusion Church. All right, another Friday. Freedom Friday is here. Well, praise the Lord. I pray that you guys have been doing well. I pray that the Lord is blessing you. We are continuing the book of Joshua. Today is Joshua 15. There's a lot of reading to be done here. And we'll start that in a minute. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time, for this moment that you have given us, that we can come together, Father, and we can just share your word, Father. I pray that you will speak to us, that it be you and not me, Father. Thank you in advance for what you're doing, what you have done, and what you're going to continue to do. Bless all my brothers and sisters, Father God. I thank you in advance for what you're going to be doing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, a little stretch there. All right, so we are in chapter 15 of Joshua. Now, this particular chapter has tons of names, so I'm not going to scare you trying to pronounce every single one of those names. So what I came up with another idea, I'm going to let my cell phone do the reading for me. That way we can get through the reading portion of it, and maybe I can have some time to share the word of the Lord this morning. Okay, so here we go. We got to do chapter 15.
The allotment for the tribe of Judah, according to its clans, extended down to the territory of Edom to the desert of Zin in the extreme south. Their southern boundary started from the bay at the southern end of the Dead Sea, crossed south of Scorpion Pass, continued on to Zin, and went over to the south of Kadesh Barnea. Then it ran past Hezron up to Adar and curved around to Karka. It then passed along to Asmon and joined the Wadi of Egypt, ending at the Mediterranean Sea. This is their southern boundary. The eastern boundary is the Dead Sea as far as the mouth of the Jordan. The northern boundary started from the Bay of the Sea at the mouth of the Jordan, went up to Beth Hogla, and continued north of Beth Araba to the stone of Bohan, son of Reuben. The boundary then went up to Debir from the valley of Achor and turned north to Gilgal, which faces the pass of Adummim, south of the gorge. It continued along to the waters of En-Shemesh and came out at En-Rogel. Then it ran up the valley of Ben-Hinnom along the southern slope of the Jebusite city, that is, Jerusalem. From there it climbed to the top of the hill west of the Hinnom Valley at the northern end of the valley of Rephaim. From the hilltop, the boundary headed toward the spring of the waters of Naphtoah, came out of the towns of Mount Ephraim, and went down toward Bala, that is, Kiriath-Jearim. Then it curved westward from Bala to Mount Seir, ran along the northern slope of Mount Jearim, that is, Kesalon, continued down to Beth Shemesh, and crossed to Timnah. It went to the northern slope of Ekron, turned toward Shikaron, passed along to Mount Bala, and reached Jabneel. The boundary ended at the sea. The western boundary is the coastline of the Mediterranean Sea. These are the boundaries around the people of Judah by their clans. In accordance with the Lord's command to him, Joshua gave to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, a portion in Judah, Kiriath Arba, that is, Hebron. Arba was the forefather of Anak. From Hebron, Caleb drove out the three Anakites, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the sons of Anak. From there he marched against the people living in Debir, formerly called Kiriath Sefer. And Caleb said, I will give my daughter Aksa in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer. Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's brother, took it. So Caleb gave his daughter Aksa to him in marriage. One day, when she came to Othniel, she urged him to ask her father for a field. When she got off her donkey, Caleb asked her, "What can I do for you?" She replied,
"Do me a special favor. Since you have given me land in the Negev, give me also springs of water."
So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. This is the inheritance of the tribe of Judah, according to its clans. The southernmost towns of the tribe of Judah in the Negev toward the boundary of Edom were Kabzeel, Eder, Jager, Kina, Dimona, Adida, Kedesh, Hazor, Ithmen, Ziph, Telem, Beeloth, Hazor Hadatta, Kiriath Hezron, that is, Hazor, Amon, Shema, Molada, Hazor Gadda, Heshman, Beth Pelet, Hazor Shul, Beersheba, Biziothiah, Baala, Ayim, Ezim, El Tolad, Kisel, Horma, Ziklag, Madmana, Sensana, Labayeth, Shilhim, Ain, and Rimmon, a total of 29 towns and their villages. In the western foothills, Eshtaol, Zora, Ashna, Zenoa, Enganim, Tapua, Enam, Jarmuth, Adullam, Soko, Azika, Shearaim, Adathaim, and Gedira, or Gedirathaim, 14 towns and their villages. Zenon, Hadasha, Migdalgad, Delian, Mizpah, Jokthiel, Lachish, Bozkath, Eglon, Cabin, Lamas, Kitlish, Gedirath, Beth Dagon, Naama, and Makeda, 16 towns and their villages. Libna, Ether, Ashen, Ifta, Ashna, Nezib, Keila, Aksib, and Marisha, 9 towns and their villages. Ekron, with its surrounding settlements and villages, west of Ekron, all that were in the vicinity of Ashdod, together with their villages, Ashdod, its surrounding settlements and villages, and Gaza, its settlements and villages, as far as the Wadi of Egypt and the coastline of the Mediterranean Sea. In the hill country, Shamer, Jater, Soko, Dana, Kiriath Sana, that is, Deber, Anab, Eshtemo, Anim, Goshen, Holon, and Gilo, 11 towns and their villages. Arab, Duma, Ishan, Janim, Beth Tapua, Afika, Humta, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, and Zior, 9 towns and their villages. Maon, Carmel, Ziph, Jutta, Jezreel, Joktium, Zenoa, Cain, Gibeah, and Timnah, 10 towns and their villages. Halho, Beth Zur, Geder, Maorath, Beth Anoth, and Eltikon, 6 towns and their villages. Kiriath Baal, that is, Kiriath Jearim, and Rabbah, 2 towns and their villages. In the wilderness, Beth Araba, Midden, Sakika, Nibshan, the city of salt, and En Gedi, 6 towns and their villages. Judah could not dislodge the Jebusites who were living in Jerusalem. To this day, the Jebusites live there with the people of Judah.
Amen and amen. Now look at that. I didn't have to go crazy and try to pronounce all those words. That we would be here to about 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, praise God for modern technology. And he did a wonderful job of reading all this. You know, this chapter, when I started to read the chapter, I started to think about, you know, what is this chapter, you know, the purpose of this chapter? It's pretty much going into details of the boundaries of the towns, of the inheritance of the tribe of Judah that they were going to about to inherit, you know, and pretty much this is taking place around 1450 BC. And this and the whole process was about 5 to 7 years long of this going on. The main characters here, I believe, is Joshua and Caleb. You know, Joshua, he was Moses' assistant, you know, and he led the people into the land of Canaan, you know, and Caleb, who was one of the other of the 12 spies that the Lord sent out to spy Canaan back in Numbers 13. You know, he was one of only two that came back with a good report, you know, before the people. And the other one was Joshua, you know, that they wanted to go in. Caleb, at this particular time, when he went into the promised land to spy it, he was about 40 years old. So here we are like 45 years later, you know, he's going into this the promised land, and the land is being divided. And that's pretty much found in Joshua 14, 6 through 11. So pretty much the chapter talks about the boundaries. It talks about the land. It talks about, you know, how far and how wide everyone of this group of the guys from Judah was going to receive. But along with that, there was also certain things that they had to fulfill, that they had to accomplish. You know, when we start serving the Lord, we don't just start serving the Lord and then there's nothing that the Lord requires of us. It's not that we have to do, but yet he gives us certain assignments to fulfill, certain things that we need to do. And one of the things that they needed to do was to drive out the people that were there, that drive out the people that lived in those particular areas. And in verse 14, you know, Caleb, you know, he drove out the people that were there. He removed them from there. And also going into verse 16, you know, there was another group of people that he wanted to remove, but then he gave his daughter to be the bride of the person who actually can go in there and take care of his business for him. I think he was 85 years old. He probably said, you know what? I don't need to fight. Okay, which one of you youngins want to go out there and I will give you my daughter? But the main thing is that they were removing the people that were there. And that was what God wanted to do. And this just took me is that sometimes we ourselves, God has given us a certain task, a certain thing that he wants us to fulfill and accomplish. And my question will be is, are you fulfilling the call that God has placed in your life? Are you fulfilling, you know, the requirements that he gave you? You know, he said you do certain things. I know that as for me, God is always giving me different tasks. And sometimes it's to go talk to somebody, is to share with somebody, is to bring to somebody's attention something that is happening. And sometimes me as human as I am, I question myself. Is it me? Is it me or is it the Lord? You know, does God really want me to do this? You know, and I have to take a step of faith and say, Lord, you know, this is you, Lord. You're going to give me peace and you're going to give me the words and I'm going to be able to do what you have asked me, because he never gives us anything to do that we cannot do. He equips us before he sends us out. He gives it to us. We just need to figure it out and not to walk in fear or in doubt, but to just take that bold step, you know, and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this unto you. And however it falls, you know what? And God has been faithful. I have been able to speak to people. I have been able to speak to pastors and bring words of encouragement, bring words of direction, you know, that the Lord has given me certain prophecies that God has placed on me to share with individuals. And yes, it's a scary thing, but you know what? Every time I do it and I release it, I feel as such of a release of that pressure. And I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that your word went out. Thank you that your word is true. And with that, you know what? I was reading this. It just took me to Luke 9. It took me to Luke 9. And in Luke 9, it talks about, you know, Jesus. And Jesus saying, if anyone desires to come after me, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, so I, as I was reading that, you know, and this particular call, you know, it is a call to embrace, you know, the Lord in a daily basis, is that every day we need to embrace the Lord, to have communion with the Lord. But you know, every time that we try to do the right thing, we have an adversary that always wants to bring division, wants to bring discouragement, you know, so it may involve hardship and sacrifice to carry this particular cross, you know. And then I just broke it down a little bit. You know, it says denying yourself. That does not mean that you stop being who you are, because you're going to be who you are no matter what. But it is for us to set aside selfish desires, you know, things that I want to do, but unto the Lord, I ain't going to do this. You know, it's nothing wrong with it, but I can use my time better in spending this time in prayer and spending this time in the Word. I may like to, or I don't golf or anything, but I know some guys out there that love to golf and all that, but that might be putting one game aside to spend that time with the Lord. You know, that is taking up your cross. That is spending time, quality time with the Lord. And that's what God is calling us to spend that time. Like, I want to please God. I want to honor God with my time. And that's one of the ways of doing it. It goes into, you know, following Jesus. You know, it's walking in obedience to the Word. It's walking in obedience to the word. It's teaching and it's examples. You know, the Word of God is full of examples of men and women that went before us. And we can learn a lot from just reading their stories, reading their history, reading their hardship. I always say I prefer to learn by watching somebody and then what they went through. That way I don't have to go through it. Because if I see it didn't work for them, then I would not make the same mistake. But if I learn a lot by just watching people, by listening and hearing their testimony, that's why testimony, my brothers and sisters, is so important, because we share it a life example of what we have gone through. And a lot of times that's such a blessing to the hearer, such a blessing to know that I'm not alone. I'm not the only one that's going through this. And sometimes it blows my mind. I say, like, wow. And I'm complaining, right? I'm complaining. And I see this individual and what they have gone through and how they are so excited and happy to share the Word. I say, like, oh, God, forgive me. Forgive me for acting this way. It also goes into this particular, again, I'm still in Luke 9:23. It's also embracing, you know, the challenges and the difficulties that come our way, because this challenge and difficulties, you know, nobody likes them. If I tell you guys, raise your hand if you like difficulties, if you like hardship, nobody's going to raise their hand. You know, nobody's going to raise their hand. But you know what? They are what molds us. They are what shapes us. If I would not have gone through what I have gone through when I was younger, and what I've been through, I would not be the person that I am today. You know, I learned that, you know, my past has developed me to be who I am today, to be the mature man that I am today. Why? Because I learned. I always say, Lord, show me what I need to learn and help me that I can learn it faster. I don't want to go around the desert for 40 years trying to figure it out like that Israel did. Israel spent 40 years going around the circle. You know, a trip that would have taken them a couple of days, it took them 40 years. Why? Because the ones that didn't believe had to pass away, had to die, and the new generation was going to be walking into that promised land. I don't want to be that. I want to make sure that I take advantage of every opportunity that the Lord has given me to do His will. Like I said, His will, not my will, because my will is for me not to do nothing. My will is for me to relax, chill out, take it easy. You know, it's not my problem. But guess what? A lot of times the Lord allows us to go through different situations so that we can help other people out. I cannot tell you how many times I've been in a difficult situation and there's somebody next to me that I end up sharing and talking to. And it's just like, for that person, I'm here. I'm here because of that person, not because of what I'm going through, because God wanted me to share something with that individual. And I am so blessed. And it blows me away every single time that I say, oh, wow, thank you, Jesus, that I was their encounter today, that I brought you into their lives and I brought your word of encouragement. So that's why it's so wonderful that, you know, that when we pick up our cross and follow the Lord daily, you know, it's a task. And that's what he's telling us. And that's what he was telling Israel. He told Israel, here's the land, here's the boundaries, you know, but you have to do certain things. You have to fulfill certain things. And guess what? They did not fulfill everything. They did not fulfill everything. Because if you look at verse 63, it says, as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. They couldn't drive them out, or they didn't drive them out. And they stayed there and they dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem to this day. You know, so they didn't do what they were supposed to do. They actually failed at this particular moment. I don't want to live a life of failure. I want to live a life that I'm doing what God has called me to do. Because what happened is that when they didn't fulfill their obligation that God has given them, they will have to face these people again. You know, if we don't take care of what God has telling us to take care of today, we're going to face it again tomorrow. We're going to deal with again maybe next year. Because he might go away for a while, but guess what? Because we didn't take care of business when we were supposed to, you know, it's going to come back. Why? Because there's a lesson that we need to learn. And we need to learn the lesson is that to be obedient, you know, to the Lord and to follow him. Because look what happens in 2 Samuel, this 2 Samuel 5:6, King David had to deal with them, with the Jebusites. It says there, and the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites. And this is 480 years later. You know, 480 years later, the inhabitants of the land, and they spoke to David saying, you shall not come here. Because this is when David wanted to come in to where they were at, and they refused to let them in. So therefore, David had to deal with these Jebusites. David had to deal with a problem that shouldn't even be a problem. But because they didn't do their job back in the day, Judah didn't do their job. Now David had to deal with that. And, you know, and for me, you know, I learned this lesson, you know, as for me and my house, that statement, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's also found in Joshua 24:15, you know, that at the end of that particular verse, they're telling him, choose this day who you're going to serve. There was, you know, it was a question that who you're going to serve. You're going to serve man or you're going to serve God? You know, are you going to serve this little gods or are you going to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? So there was this phrase that was put before them. And at the end of that particular chapter, they said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. These words have been embedded in me, as for me and my house. And I like to use examples and in my family, you know, there's always has been a history, you know, of divorces. You know, there's been a history. My grandparents, my parents, you know, my siblings, you know, they all have gone through certain things. And me looking at that, you know, I said, and the Lord impressed upon me about this situation. And I prayed, I said, Lord, I don't want to be part of that equation. I don't want to follow what has happened. So I break this cycle. I break this cycle in the name of Jesus, you know, and I made a promise and this is between you guys and me because nobody else is here. Yeah, I made a promise, I'm not gonna get divorced. I said this before I got married. I said, I don't wanna go through what everybody else has gone through. I don't wanna go through none of that stuff, you know? And guess what, you know, and praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, you know, 46 years later, you know, I'm still married, you know what I mean? And it wasn't that it was always easy. There were situations, there were times that I looked out the door and I said, going out the door. But then the Lord reminds you, you know, the Lord always reminds you, Holy Spirit. That's why prayer is so important. That's why devotions are so important. That's why learning who this God is so important, that Holy Spirit will always remind us, keep us in check. He said, remember what you said. Remember, you know what? And here we are. Here we are. You know, July 15th. July 15th is my anniversary. You know, July 15th. And I'm like, woohoo, you know, be 47, you know, and still going strong, 47, you know, and you guys know the history of Pastor Jason and Sandra. You know what he went through the military. He shared his testimony with you guys. They both have. And when they were going through this particular time that was hard for them, me and my wife were praying. Ain't gonna be no divorce. This ain't gonna happen. As for me and my house, our prayers, as for me and my house, means as for me and my house, means my children and my children's children. We've broken the curse, and we speak life into the situation, not death. We speak life. And that's why this particular verse, as for me and my house, is dear to me. Because I used it and I believe it and I speak it out. It's so important. It's so important that we speak what God has told us to speak. You know, it is so important that we bless our children. We bless our little ones, you know. And I know that I shared this in the past with you guys. When my kids were born, you know, I always presented them to the Lord. Even before church, even before, I had my own personal devotion. My own personal devotion was always to lift them up and say, Lord, you gave me this child, you know, and I'm blessing this child, you know, and I'm giving him back or giving her back to you. And I did that. And of course, my kids, I don't remember now that stuff. They were babies back then. But I presented Pastor Jason. I presented Matthew. I presented my daughter, Natasha. I presented Isaiah, my grandson. I presented Alexandra, my granddaughter. And I didn't do it in front of a lot of people. Most of the time, I'm just by myself. It is grandpa. It is dad. It is my responsibility to present them and say, Lord, what a gift. And I present them to the Lord and I bless them. So it's so important that we speak life over our children. That's why the men of Judah, they were supposed to do certain things, you know, and when they possessed this particular land. And sometimes they did it. Caleb did it. But sometimes they messed up and they didn't do what they were supposed to do. And years later, they have to face it again. So do not allow time to run too far ahead of you and you don't fulfill what God is calling you to do. Because if he's telling you to do something, if he's telling you to break something, if he's telling you to give up something, it is for a reason. It's because it is for your good. It is for my good. And a lot of times we don't want to do it. I get it. You know, sometimes we want to fight it. Sometimes it was, I don't think I can do that. Yes, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. He will guide you. He will direct you. One of my old pastors back in the day was Pastor Ralph Snook. And he passed with the Lord just recently, not too long ago. He was my pastor back then. And I was in the church working with men and everything else. And there were times that I had to present something to him, or I saw something, or I have to confront somebody. And I fought this back and forth. And I said, you know what? He may not want to hear it, but I got to do it. So I prayed and I go to the pastor and I said, look, I see this. I'm bringing it to your attention. That way you can deal with it because it's not my responsibility. It's your responsibility. And I share with him, even though I thought I was going to get rejected, he never rejected me once. He always accepted me. He always accepted me, and he took everything that I gave him, and then he dealt with it, and that brought more healing to the church. That brought more direction to the church. Why? Because I spoke the word. I spoke the word. I said it, you know, and he received it, and then that was like a lift. It was lifted off my shoulders, you know. That's why it's important that we do what God has called us to do, because if not, you're going to feel that shame. You're going to feel that guilt that you're not doing it, that you didn't fulfill it, that you didn't share truth with somebody. Sometimes the truth hurts, and sometimes we don't want to share the truth. But if you share the truth in love, it will be received. And if it doesn't get received, it's not your problem. That's their problem with the Lord. You just have to be obedient, because sometimes people don't want to hear it. But sometimes when they do hear it, it opens up their eyes. It opens up and touches their heart, and they're convicted by the Holy Spirit. I'm not there to make anybody do anything. That's Holy Spirit's job. My job is to, if God has given me to do something, then I need to step up. I need to step up and do it, even though it may be uncomfortable. But you know what? It is such a release when I do it, because then I know, it's no longer my problem. It's the Lord. I surrender it back to the Lord. I surrender back to the individual. So that's why, you know, whenever I'm here and whenever I'm sharing with you guys, everything I share is in love. I never want to share anything that's not in love, you know. So sometimes you might hear a word and you might say like, oh my God, you know, that's a little bit strong. It's not meant to be strong. I just want to make sure that you guys hear what God is saying, you know, and because God loves you and God wants to use you, you know, and God wants to use you just where you are at, you know, and you have gifts and you have abilities and you got talent. And sometimes, you know, you say, oh, I don't got nothing good to say. Yes, you do. The word of God says, open up your mouth and he will fill it. You know, so if you go before the Lord, say, Lord, give me the words, and he will. And that's why it's so important that this particular chapter, you know, if we don't do what we need to do, it's going to come back. It's going to come back, especially of those things that are there for correction. But you can correct with love. And correct with love, share with love, and leave it in God's hands, and he'll take care of it. And then we won't have to deal with it. I'm here as a witness. I'm here as a living testimony of what God can do. You know, I was pretty much in that position that I should have felt a long time ago. You know, coming from broken families, my wife came from a broken home. I came from a broken home. I came from abuse. She came from abuse. You know, we had our ups and downs, you know, and you, when you put two broken vessels together, it's not a good future. But you know what? God takes the brokenness and mends it together and makes it new again. And guess what? He brings life. So, you know, so that's why me and my wife getting ready to celebrate, you know, 47 years. And it's because of the grace of God. It wasn't easy. You know, it was with a lot of work, a lot of tears, you know, a lot of pressing forward, you know, but God, it's all possible. With God, it's possible, and he will help us. Doesn't matter where you are at today. Today, the Lord is saying, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You know, just come to me and I will help you. You know, so if you need an embrace from the Lord, there it is. Just hug yourself. Hug yourself, because, you know, you are representing the Lord. You are representing. That's right. That's right. You are representing the Lord. And sometimes, you know, this right here, just to feel those, your own arms, but it's not you. It is the Lord. It is the Lord that embraces you. It is the Lord that holds you. It is the Lord that comforts you. And it is the Lord that loves you so much. And that's why this particular chapter, when I first read it, I said, what am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with this? But look what God brought out from this particular, you know, because I was going like this. Oh, Father, help me with this. How can I bring this into? And then God just, you know, again, when you spend that time with the Lord, there's such a feeling of his presence that he starts pouring down on you. And then I start to write down, and all of a sudden, boom, I said, there it is. There it is. You know, I always, for certain, and I gotta get off this thing here. It's already 6:30. Oh my goodness sakes. But for my wife and I always, during any kind of holidays, any birthdays or whatever, I always write her a note. I have a habit of writing her a note, and I never pre-write the letter or the note ahead of time. For me, it's sitting that, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning of, that's when I do it. And I sit there with a pen and a notebook. And I say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to share? And you know what? And I start writing down, and then all of a sudden I could be there, and I could, and sometimes I give her 3 sheets of paper of notes of what God has given me that particular moment to speak to her, to speak life and to speak encouragement. And I do that. You know, so every time she gets a card, she goes, okay, well, how many sheets this time you giving me? And sometimes it's like, I gotta read this later because I want to really concentrate on it. But you know what? That is the Lord. You know, that is the Lord that gives me that. But you know what? God wants to do the same thing for you. He wants to bless you beyond your expectations. He wants to bless you beyond where you're at. And he is, and he will. Just trust him. Just say, Lord, you know, I need you, Father. I need you to direct me. I need you to show me. I need you to give me something today. And guess what? He will. He will. The word says that you are never alone, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never abandon you. He is right there by your side. I notice that the heart, when I'm going through the hardest storm, that is when God is the closest to me. That is the, and then all the wind is blowing. Sometimes you may not hear it, but that is when God is holding you. Like I said, when you were holding yourself, that is what God says, I got you. You ain't going nowhere. I got you. You know, you're in the storm, you're shaking back and forth, but he has you. He has you. And that's what he's telling you this morning, that he has you. He has you. You belong to him, and he loves you. I pray you got something out of this morning. I know I can ramble on and talk and talk and talk, and sometimes that probably will make no sense. But you know what? I love you guys. I want to just continue to pour upon you what God has given me. I want you to feel what I feel, because if you can feel what I feel, you know that you're not alone. You know that you're not alone. You know, and you can do whatever you said you're going through, and you can get beyond it. Why? Because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are right there with you. And then the angel that he gives charge over you and yourself, that makes 5. You're never alone. You're never forsaken. You're never abandoned. You know, so again, be encouraged this week. Be encouraged this weekend. Just give him the praise, give him the glory. You know, the best thing to do when you don't know what to do, just praise him. Praise him and worship him, you know what? And when you do that, you are releasing all that unto him, and you're saying, Lord, I just need you. And when you praise him, you know, and your hands up, you get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready, because he's about to pour down upon you an overflow. That's a word for somebody. There's an overflow coming that he's going to pour upon you. An overflow that you cannot contain yourself. It's going to be poured out upon you, and it's going to trickle out to everybody else that's around you. And that is the anointing of God, and that is the blessing of God. So get ready. Get ready for an outpour. I hear the rain coming. I know it's been raining all week long, but I hear the rain coming. I hear the rain coming. But this is a spiritual rain. This is a refreshing rain. It is an anointing rain. So get ready for it. Let us pray. Father, we praise you, we worship you, we exalt your name. I thank you, Father God, because you are so good. You are so wonderful, Father. I pray that you will meet my brothers and my sisters wherever they're at, Father God, that you will just bless them, that you will encourage them, Holy Spirit, that you will just fill them fill them, that there will be an overflow taking place in their lives, in their family, in their home, Father. Let it be an overflow that is contagious, Father God, of your presence, Lord. And I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Love you, love you, love you, love you. Nah, 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 nah. You know who I am, right? And whenever I get the chance and I go see you guys, be expecting the hugs, because the hugs are coming. The hugs are coming. Love you. Have a blessed weekend.